let me tell you about a place somewhere up in New York way, where the people are so gay, twisting the night away. Here they have a lot of fun.
Yes, we're here to have a lot of fun this morning. You're listening to News Radio 92.3 Tuesday morning. It's time for The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. So get in your questions, 850-437-1620. Happy November!
Well, trick or treat!
Yes, those are behind us. All the treats are now
it's over.
Out there it's instead over. Of in my children's buckets.
Man, alive. We had a lot of kids. We really did.
Is it the biggest year since COVID?
I think so. No doubt about it. I mean, obviously, with COVID, you know, it was very slim, but they're out and about last night. No doubt about it.
It is. I already have cleaned up all my Halloween decorations, and I am ready to move on.
Time to move on to Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And hopefully, half my yard is growing back. The other half doesn't know what's happening. And then a little patch is coming alive.
I think all the plants and turf are very confused.
It's a weird. Now, it's humid. And we've had some rain. We've got moisture going on, but it's not super warm and it's not super chilly. It's kind of nice, but it's a weird temperature,
exactly.
And I like it.
Oh, no, it's very nice. And we did get some rain. It wasn't enough, but at least we got a little bit. And I hope we do have some more because we need that. There's no doubt about it. I have a few of my plants that are suffering because of the drought. Even though I've tried to keep them watered, it's been difficult. So, in any event, it's a beautiful day. It's a good day to get out and maybe dig in the dirt a little bit, and maybe we can talk about that today, and maybe we have some questions. I did want to mention one thing, Jenna. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about it. If you go down Langley, if you're going north on 9th and take a right on Langley, let me tell you right now, look at the landscaping at the airport and enjoy the muley grass. That's blooming. I have to tell you, it is absolutely gorgeous. And it's a plant that I really think we probably ought to include in our own landscape. The only disadvantage I can see to having muley grass in your yard would be, there are a couple. One, if you don't have any pure sun locations, you've got to have that. There's no doubt about it. But I have people that tell me, with swimming pools, if they have the muley grass right next to the swimming pool, that when all the blooming is over and all those plumes are, losing a lot of the foliage, that it can be a mess in your swimming pool. But otherwise,
it's so pretty.
It is so, so pretty. And just a couple of hints in case you are going to plant muley grass. One, all the experts say what you don't want to do is overwater it. Which is a lot of people say, that's great. That's exactly what I'm looking for, something I don't have to maintain too much. It's got to have pure sun. It's just like roses, just like tomato plants. They've got to have pure sun. Muley grass wants a well-drained soil. And what have we got in Pensacola? Sand. So we've got great and well-drained soil. And it just doesn't get any bugs or disease, a little bit of fungus periodically, but not much. One thing you do want to give it is good air circulation. In other words, you don't want to plant a dozen of them right next to each other. You want a lot of air circulation going through. But it's just a great plant. It's beautiful this time of year. And what it does, I've always said this was an advantage to these ornamental grasses, is in your landscape, it gives you a little bit of motion, a little bit the wind kind of blows it. And it's kind of a little bit of interest in your landscape. With those ornamental grasses. I did want to mention, since we were talking about this one, a few of the other ornamental grasses that are really good. I like this has been around for years, purple fountain grass. It's got that purple foliage and kind of the white blooms that come on at this time of year, just like the muley grass. Purple fountain grass. There's also a white fountain grass that is really good. And then there's that old staple that we all have planted over the years is pampas grass. Mm-hmm. Sending up those huge white plumes this time of year.
So pretty.
It is so, so pretty. And then the last one you might find this in your local garden center is miscanthus, which another name for that is silver grass, which has some white plumes to it. So it's really a great plant to plant. And a lot of people, a term that we've used over the years, and I think it's kind of lost interest, but maybe with our climate change and a lot of dryness coming out, is xeriscape. Xeriscaping is, I think xeris is Greek for water and scape for scene, but it's a way to plant plants that will accept dry conditions and ones that you don't have to maintain too much. And there are all kinds of plants like that. Some of the hollies are good. The dwarf yaupon hollies are good. Oleander is good. And let me stop there, Jenna, because oleander is a great plant insofar as accepting dryness and having blooms. But if you've got children, pets,
yes,
that are going to even think about chewing on a leaf, ooh, off of oleander, it is one of the most toxic plants that we plant in our landscape. So be careful. It okay. really is dangerous. So be very careful. I mean, it's a great plant for dryness. But
well,
just
they
be very,
say like even touching it could cause some
oh, sure.
pretty severe
oh, sure.
allergies.
Oh, sure. But you have a 2-year-old chew on a leaf, you got problems. So just if you've got kids and pets that have a propensity to do that, just don't plant it. Just don't do it.
Okay.
Some of the most beautiful plants. I think I mentioned this one time before. I was in Phoenix, Arizona on some business at one time. And from the airport into town, in the center of their interstate, they had nothing but the dwarf oleander, pink. And it is one of the most beautiful entrances to a city you would ever want to see. But obviously, in the center of the interstate, it's out of touch of for being dangerous. So there are places for it, but think twice before you plant it in your yard.
That's a good tip right there. I added that note into our podcast today. If you don't catch all of The Garden Line this morning, you can go ahead and catch it later at newsradio923.com or on our new mobile app, News Radio Pensacola. You can download it today in your app store. If you'd like to hop in and send a picture in, ask a question, you can call, you can text 850-437-1620 to News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr, hanging out with Mike Wiggins this morning on The Garden Line.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, Mama said.
Mama said
there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, my mama said.
Mama said.
The day and everything was going fine. I met a
welcome back. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. I'm Jenna Barr. Thanks for joining us this morning. Happy November 1st. We are bringing in November, which means we are officially counting down the days until Christmas. So get all those Christmas decorations dusted.
Don't forget Thanksgiving.
I'm going to decorate before Thanksgiving
are
this
you?
Year. Yeah, because
it really?
Won't be here, and so I need to make sure that it's all ready for me when I come back.
Well, that would be nice.
Like yes. Santa came before. But I do have a question here. If you'd like to drop your text into the text line or give us a call, our phone lines are open. You can add a picture to your text if you would like, 850-437-1620. Mike, have you mentioned if it is a good time for pre or post emergence? I forget which one this time of year.
We did. We chatted about that last week, but I think it's very appropriate to repeat that because it is time. With temperatures the way they are, high 70s into the 50s at night, in this range, it's perfect for post emergence. A post-emergence, for example, like Trimec. And now keep in mind that your post-emergence are going to be for your broadleaf weeds like Virginia buttonweed and dollarweed and Florida pusley and weeds such as that. Now, you also have to consider that instead of using your post-emergence, you may just kind of hope for a very, very cold winter because a lot of those broadleaf weeds are annual weeds, which are going to die in a hard freeze. Now, over the past couple of years, we haven't had that. So if you've got a lot of those type of broadleaf weeds and you want to control them right now, yes, use your post-emergence right now. Post-emergence obviously means that it's after the weeds are up. They're already looking at you. But also we have to, in this discussion, talk about mid-November, coming up quick, is a good time for your pre-emergence to take care of some of your winter weeds and also to help control some of your spring weeds next year, because we're going to use the pre-emergence mid-November and then use it again mid-February, about 90 days apart. So that's sort of your weed control schedule for the winter, if you will. And this, the timing is good. Now, the weather's perfect because it's dry and you spray your post-emergence on your weeds. You don't water it, so let's say 48 hours, and then you can start watering again. But don't, if it looks like it's going to rain, you obviously don't want to do it because, I mean, think of that dollar weed sitting there looking at you. That weed killer is going to have to sit on that weed, on that dollar weed, to be absorbed by the plant to kill it. So you don't want to obviously water it off or water it so the weed killer comes off the weed, and you don't want to do it if it's going to rain. So that's the deal on the post-emergence. So, yes, to answer the question, it's a good time.
Okay. Now is the time. Perfect. 9:21, just shy of 9:22 on News Radio 92.3. Another question here for Mike. What is a good thing to plant, whether it be a shrub or a flower or a tree, in a very moist area in our yard? Not a lot of sun, almost zero sun at all, lots of shade due to a bigger tree, and kind of stays wet longer.
Yeah. Tree-wise, river birch are good.
River birch.
Ball cypress are very, very good. A lot of what's really good, if you don't plant it too much in a regular landscape, is wax myrtle. Wax myrtle is a great evergreen plant that will take a lot of moisture. There's no doubt about it. Some of your Louisiana iris are great. They'll bloom, but they like a wet area also. So there's a whole bunch of plants that one can plant. And you're right. If you do have a wet area, you need to identify those plants like we just discussed and plant those as opposed to some of your regular ornamentals, which if it's too wet, many times will develop root fungus, which can affect the health of the plant, obviously. Mm. So look for those plants that will take a wet area, like some of the ones we just mentioned.
Okay, excellent. If you have another question, drop it into our text line, 850-437-1620. What else do you have on our list as we open up November?
Well, I was going to say, let's go back to the dry weather. I mean, we obviously have had some real dry weather. And going back to the philosophy of xeriscaping, I like to talk about that, not in relation to some of these pictures you see out west where it's just a yard full of cactus. You know, we're not going to do that here. But to plant some plants that will take less water. Let me just mention a few. And these are some basics. A dwarf yaupon holly. It's ilex. Anything that begins with the word ilex is a holly. And ilex vomitoria. Not a very pleasant name, but that's what it is. It's a dwarf yaupon holly, which is a small leaf, tiny leaf holly, a mounding holly. It doesn't get too tall, and it's great for dry areas. People have used it in Pensacola for years as a basic landscape plant if you need something that's going to stay relatively low. It's not a ground cover by any stretch of the imagination, but it can be a plant in the foreground of your flower bed. And here's one. I'm not sure we've ever mentioned this plant on the Garden Line before. Barberry. It's a shrub that's, I think, it's very underused. It's got a beautiful red foliage, but a barberry is a great plant that takes very, very little water. And here's one that all the lists of plants that take less water that people planted over the years was Indian hawthorn, Raphiolyptus. Well, at this stage of the game, I would really discourage that plant because it has developed that leaf spot. Remember, we talked about the red top. Red top was a plant that was so popular as a hedge plant in Pensacola, but you can't even buy it anymore because it got that leaf fungus and it's almost, I don't want to call it extinct. It's not. But you just don't want to plant it because you're going to have problems. Same with the Indian hawthorn. Everybody planted it. It was a low-mounding plant, very similar to that dwarf yaupon holly in its growth habit. But it got the leaf spot, and there just was no way that I found to cure it. And I used everything on it that you can imagine. So I think I would kind of avoid that. But if you're going to find another family of plants to use, plant some junipers. And
I love junipers.
One of my favorite is Blue Pacific junipers, which is kind of a ground. It is a ground cover. It's kind of the son of shore junipers. Shore junipers don't have quite the dark green look, but it also is a ground cover. Then you've got all of different kind of junipers from your Hollywood twister. If you want something that's going to grow real high,
yes,
plant a Hollywood twister, which kind of does what it says. It kind of twists as it goes up. Blue vase is a kind of grows similar to a boxwood in its growth habit. Not used very much, but blue vase is a good juniper. And those junipers all kind of fit into that low or that not needing water very much. They really are. Here's another one. I don't think we've ever mentioned this on the show. A glossy abelia. It's got bronze foliage with little white or whiter pink flowers. It's really kind of cool. Also, you may not think about this one in a dry area, but your crepe myrtles don't take as much water as many other smaller growing blooming trees do. So that's just a list, just a partial list.
Lots of green. Lots
of green. None of those plants take as much water as other ones. Now, in Pensacola, when we have a summer like we had late summer, where it just, you know, in September and October, it just quit raining. It doesn't mean you don't water them at all, but they sure take less water and react less to drought than many of your other plants.
Okay, excellent. On that note, as you're jotting all that down and getting ready to go outside and plant some more greenery.
Right. There you go.
All right, it is time to take a little bit of a break from our garden chat. Okay, Mike, we are going to get a news update, but when we come back, you're going to give us some more greens, the good stuff.
I have got all kind
wink,
of
wink.
I got all kind of green over here that that we can talk about
today.
Oh, okay,
now he's bragging.
A little bit. Why not?
All right, stay tuned. We've got a local news update coming for you after Fox. Go.
Wow.
We're moving.
Now we're going. Toes are tapping over
Toes
here.
Toes are. Etta James.
Yes.
That's Look. What we need first thing in the morning.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, so we took a break here. Got a little news in our shoes. And we have a couple of questions as we move into our second half hour of The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. Let's first head on over to our phone line. We have Andrew on the line for Mike. Go ahead, Andrew, with your question.
Hey, Mike. I got the oldest question in Pensacola history, as usually they are this time of year.
What is that?
How much cutting on my crepe myrtles can I do right now?
You know what? I wouldn't do any. I saw somebody the other day going down the road, and some lawn service was cutting back the crepe myrtles. No.
Did you pull over and yell at them?
No.
He
was bigger than me.
Oh.
No, are you kidding me? Andrew, I like to wait. I like to wait till January or even February, and then keeping in mind, remember now, that those crepe myrtles are going to bloom on new growth, and so you don't want to whack them all the way back, cut what grew this year, maybe cut the whole thing back about a third, and be done with it. But I think I would wait. I just... I worry that if we start cutting back our shrubs and our trees that we normally do in the early spring, that we're going to have this crazy weather come upon us, whereas we cut them back, and then we sit here in the high 70s, maybe even the low 80s, and so that crape myrtle puts on new growth. It thinks it's spring.
Yeah.
Then we have that hard freeze, and all that new growth is knocked back, and that's just not good for the plant. So long story short, I wouldn't do anything cutting back crape myrtles this time of year. I would wait till January or February.
Thank you.
Hey, good. That gives you some free time, Andrew.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew, thank you for that. 850-437-1620. What do you say about hydrangeas? Should we prune or not? If so, how much? Our friend Ashlyn has a baby hydrangea next to it. When should I move it?
You know,
there's a couple questions. Sorry about that.
Those are two good questions. On that hydrangea pruning, you got to be careful. It blooms on old wood. And so what you don't want to do is to sit there and take it way, way back. Just cut back right, behind those blooms that, of course, are gone by now. And don't cut it back too far. And you can do it right now. You can do it right now. But just don't drastically prune that hydrangea, because you've got to leave a lot of that old wood on there so it'll bloom next year. So be very careful. Now, insofar as moving it, I think we're very close. I always say, if you want to know my advice on when to move a lot of these plants, especially the larger plants, find the coldest, nastiest day in January and do it. But if you've got a hydrangea, and if it's in a container, say a 1 gallon or 3 gallon container, if it's even in the ground and it's relatively small, you could do it now that it's cooled off a little bit. But be so careful about watering. Obviously, get as much of the root system as you can. Have the new hole in which you're going to plant your hydrangea ready to go. I always like to put a little peat moss in there to help hold that moisture in. And go ahead and do it right now. But move it, and then don't allow your sprinkler system to cover all the water that transplanted plant needs. Take your hose and go and just really drown it every day or so for a while, a couple of weeks, or just let your hose sit next to that plant, just dribbling, and let it do it for, I don't know, an hour or so. Point is, you need that water to get deep. You don't want just that sprinkler system to spritz over it, because that plant is going to want to go through some type of shock insofar as transplanting. Mm. That's why you have the peat moss in the hole to hold the moisture in. You water it real good. You wait till the cooler weather. All of that helps avoid that transplant shock. So be careful. But you could do it now as long as you follow all those rules.
Perfect. Let's hop on over to Karen, who's on our phone line, 437-1620. I will get to your texts in just a moment here on the Garden Line. Karen, what's your question for Mike?
Yes, I have a butterfly weed, and I was wondering, do I need to cut that back for the season?
Well, I wouldn't do it yet. I really wouldn't. I think I would wait till we get into early spring, let's say, February or March, and then kind of cut it back then. I wouldn't go cutting it back now. It kind of goes, for me, some of that old philosophy of not cutting back in late fall a lot of the plants that can put on new foliage and then have them freeze back. I think I would wait until we get into February, even March, and then do your pruning then. That'd be my advice.
Okay. I just met someone, and she said that she cuts hers back so that the butterflies would go ahead and migrate south. Does that make sense?
Well, you know what? I've never heard it put quite that way. But, it kind of goes along with, this is way a little bit off topic here, to hummingbird feeders. A lot of people, including myself, put up hummingbird feeders. And this year we've never seen so many hummingbirds. But a lot of people say, yeah, take it down right now so the hummingbirds know they're going to fly south. You don't want to encourage them to stay. So
right.
What your friend's saying kind of makes a little bit of sense. I think horticulturally you could cut them back now, but you're taking a chance on that new growth coming out and having some freeze damage or cold damage. If we have a cold winter, if we don't, you're probably okay.
Hey, Karen, thank you for that. It's 9:45. Let me read this text from our friend Janet before we take a break and then come back with a couple of questions here on our text line, News Radio 923-850-437-1620. I love this, and we love safety. And we do see this around different neighborhoods especially. People love shrubs. They love plants. They love privacy. But our friend Janet is advising us, especially people who are newer to our community, that safety matters. So muley grass is great, but please make sure for public safety, do not plant along short street edges or corners. It creates a big blind spot to pull out in traffic. Before planting anything, drive around your property from other traffic directions to see how others on the road would have to deal with it when it's tall. Thank you for that, Janet. Safety first. We want everybody to be safe on the roads and in their yards. Yeah.
Janet is so right. Even back when I was with the city, we used to have to address that on some intersection.
All the time. There is an intersection in East Hill. It is so dangerous.
Exactly.
And there have been several accidents. And I'm just wondering, when are we just going to chop all those bushes down?
Exactly.
I mean, they're not gonna do anything but hurt somebody.
No,
so
you're absolutely right. So if you're planting, pay attention to that. And Janet is alerting us to that, and I really appreciate it because that's so important. But some of the existing, just an example. There's Tom Thumb where I buy my gasoline, okay, to fill up my car. And getting out of that parking lot, I want to take a right. I look to the left.
I know
it's
what
just
you're talking about.
It's a big shrub.
Yes.
It's a big shrub.
It's so hard to see.
Talk. Sometimes I think the business owners may not be aware that it's a problem and would be happy to address that. Sometimes it's just a matter of.
And if it's within city limits, you can call the city of Pensacola.
Oh, of course.
And they'll
help. You call inspection.
You kind of got to be annoying.
Yeah.
I'm just
exactly.
going to tell you.
But sometimes you don't have to remove the plant. You can prune it up so that you have a line of sight both left and right as you pull out of a business. And I know most business guys that I know would be happy to accommodate that. They just may not realize what's going on. So in any event, Janet, thanks. Good advice.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I've got a couple other questions coming in and a phone call from our friend Lynn on the Garden Line. All right, we are moving along on the Garden Line this morning on News Radio 92.3. Mike, what do we do about discolored leaves on our lantanas?
Okay, well, let me say this about the lantana. One of my absolute favorite plants, the dwarf lantana, this year, and I don't mean to brag a little bit, but I'll tell you, it is as pretty as I've ever seen it. It's just been great. Now, discolored leaves, especially little spots on the leaves, what sometimes we call it frog eye, can happen this time of year. Nothing you can do about it. The new growth next year should be fine. What you can do is if those leaves fall off, which they probably will, be sure you rake them up, get them away from the plant. Also, check your location because sometimes lack of airflow going through a flower bed or a planting will cause some of those leaf spots to come. Keep in mind, if you have a leaf on a plant that is brown on the edges, and we've talked about this before, it's brown on the edges, that is usually environmental. Too hot, too cold, too dry, too wet, what have you. Usually too dry. If those spots are internal on the inside the leaf, that is easily these leaf spot funguses we're talking about, and there's not much one can do about it, especially this time of year. So, I don't believe we've got a real problem there, but be sure you do follow the rules of getting those dead leaves out of there because that lantana is going to probably die back if we have a cold winter, but it will come back with a vengeance next year. That's what's so great about it. And that dwarf, the dwarf yellow, if you need something for a flower bed that, once again, we talked about plants this morning about that don't take as much water as others, that is a great plant.
Excellent. Let's hop on over to our phone line this morning. Lynn, you have a question for Mike? Go ahead.
Hi, Mike. It's Lynn from the Garden Center.
Lynn, how are you?
Hey, Hey, I just heard a seminar given by a master gardener, and you know those ladies and gentlemen are well versed and trained in what they do. And I don't know if they're putting out erroneous information or what about the butterfly milkweed, butterfly weed that the lady was talking about. They said cut them all the way down because it makes all the monarch butterflies go down to Mexico where they need to be for the winter. And if you don't, the winters here are too strong and it just kills them.
Well, Lynn, I got to tell you something. If we're going to save the butterflies, I'm all for it. You know, cut them back. That would be fine. You know, we still deal with that principle of, you know, putting on new growth and having the cold weather doing the damage. But it sounds like cutting them back right now to save the butterflies would probably be more important than not worrying about when we're pruning. So, yeah, go ahead and do it. And Lynn, I really appreciate that. Hadn't heard from you in a while. How have you been?
Well, I'm going to move on. I'm so sorry. We are running out of time.
Call me back again, Lynn.
Yes, call again, Lynn. We have a few questions to get to. Everybody just came out. Now I'm in the weeds. So can we cut back Lantana while we're talking about pruning?
Not yet. Don't
Not
do
yet.
It.
Don't
do
cut
yet.
Back Lantana no. yet. No. What about pruning any citrus trees?
Citrus trees, that's a whole other seminar on pruning. Generally, citrus doesn't really need a lot of pruning. Now, if you've got a lot of crossing branches and that type of thing, dead branches, yeah, go in and clean all that up. But insofar as pruning citrus just for the sake of pruning, generally they don't need it. I just wouldn't do it.
Okay. Now, what about, here we go, pruning azaleas.
Right. Well, we all know that azaleas right now have already set their buds for 2023 springtime. But my advice on that is, if you've got azaleas, for example, in front of your house, a hedge, and we talked about this last week, and it's got all those little I call them water shoots coming up.
Yes.
And it's just unsightly. It doesn't hurt a thing to get in there and just give that a brief little
trim.
Haircut.
Yes.
Give it a little haircut to make it look nice for the holidays,
mm-hmm.
because you're not going to lose that much color if you do that. So, but keep in mind, no drastic pruning on azaleas this time of year, because you're going to lose a lot of color and you could have that problem of new growth and having the freezes.
Okay, perfect. We're going to take another quick break. Before we come back, our friend Todd has a question about picking citrus and is it time to fertilize for fall and winter? So we're going to get to that question when we come back. If you want to squeeze in a last minute question, we're about to wrap up this morning here. All right, so let's keep this train moving. We were talking about when we pick the citrus, do we fertilize right now for fall and winter?
I wouldn't do it. I'd wait till spring to fertilize.
Okay.
And use a fertilizer labeled for citrus, because it'll have not only the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash, it'll have a lot of the minor elements that citrus enjoys.
A late listener, but let's hit this real quick before we talk about lime. Can we prune back some gardenia and hydrangeas right now?
Hydrangeas, yes, we talked about that.
But
not very far.
Nope.
You need all that wood. What's the other one they want?
Gardenias.
Gardenias, I wouldn't do it.
Not yet.
I wouldn't do it yet. I certainly wouldn't.
Okay, and then here we go. Pounds of lime to square footage ratio to St. Augustine. Can we apply it now?
Yes, you can apply it now. I like about 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet. Put it out, water it in, and you're in business. Everybody needs to know. If you haven't had a soil test to tell you to do that, about every 2 years,
yes.
maybe every 3 years, if you have St. Augustine, you should just do it as a matter of course, because it likes a neutral pH versus the acid soil, which we have here in Pensacola. So the lime allows the nutrients you put on there to be absorbed by the St. Augustine grass. It's really important to do, and a lot of us don't do it as frequently as we should.
Perfect. Look at you. That was the lightning round.
That was a lightning round.
That was very good, and we just got out in 7 seconds of time to spare.
Very good. Don't forget the citrus survey. We talked about citrus a minute ago. The citrus survey, call the Escambia County Extension Service and ask for the details, because they're asking for information on if you grow citrus in your yard to help protect those plants against fungus and insects and such. So be involved in that. Call the county agency. I'd like to talk to you about the citrus survey.
Citrus survey. Say that 10 times fast. And join us next week here on the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and catch the podcast on our new mobile app, News Radio Pensacola.